This is Nursing in America. Each week, we speak with incredible nurses from all over the world who have taken the leap to start a new life in the United States. If you're thinking about doing the same, then this is the place you'll find all the insider knowledge and inspirational success stories to realize your own American dream.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Hi, Rianne. Hi, Bruno.
Hey, Miss Anya. Good morning.
Welcome, welcome.
Good morning, Rianne.
Good morning.
We are so excited this morning. We are starting the Lafora Talk Show. This is season 2, episode 3. So we are really happy to have Rianne and Bernard with us today to share their story. The Lafora Talk Show was created for nurses, to help nurses. This is a platform for people to share their story and help each other. And our intention here is really just to inform, so that people can, so we can spread some happiness, some information, and some inspiration. So again, my name is Tanya Friedman. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Kinetics USA. Rianne and Bernard will be sharing their story today for the next 45 to 60 minutes. And we're gonna be talking about a lot of things. I want to give a shout out. Oh my goodness. I have a frog in my throat. I want to give a shout out to the Lafora admin team for giving us this opportunity. So Louise, Jean, Paul, Yanni, all the Lafora admin team who do such amazing work. Thank you so much for giving Rianne and Bernard this opportunity to share their story. Okay.
All right.
So last night, we heard a little bit about Rianne and Bernard, and today, stay tuned, because we're going to be talking about some topics that are of enormous importance for nurses coming to America. Things like Rianne spoke about credit history, taxes, cost of living in different areas, what it's like to work as a nurse. Bernard was speaking about doing your research on where you're going to. He went to Texas. There are a lot of Spanish-speaking people, especially in the specific location he went to in Texas. So doing your research. We're going to speak about driving in the U.S. Rianne also mentioned yesterday the insurances, 401ks, things like that. So we're going to be talking about a lot of things. So stay tuned, because this is your time to learn from Rianne and Bernard. Okay, let's get started. Rianne and Bernard, tell us a little bit about yourself before we talk about coming to America, right? So just give us a little bit of your background, how long you've been a nurse, why you became a nurse, have you always had the American dream? Maybe ladies first, Rianne.
All right, go ahead, Rianne.
Hi, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and mabuhay to all the nurses who's watching. Thank you again, Ms. Tanya and the Lafora team for inviting me. So my name is Rianne. I was born and raised in the Philippines, like what I said yesterday on the talk, the teaser. And I took nursing 2008. I graduated nursing 2008, my BSN. That's my first course. And I always wanted to be a nurse since I was in high school, because I love science. So basically, when I graduated nursing, I really wanted to help people and save lives. So I really equipped myself by joining a lot of groups like the Red Cross, Philippine Red Cross. I joined a lot of seminars and trainings in the Philippines. And then I worked there as a nurse. The longest work was a medical surgical nurse in the Philippines. And then I've been a lot. I also tried being a dialysis nurse. Uh-huh. I also tried going to the BPO as a USRN case manager. And then I also tried going to the ICUs, going to the floors. I've become a TB dots even nurse. So name it and name any hospital. I think I've been a trained there. So because it's really hard for nurses back in the Philippines to really start working without an experience way back when I was starting as a nurse there. So that's it. And then actually American dream is like really at the back of my mind, but I was not really doing something about it. So one day, I don't know, my mom told me that there was an opening in this agency that they're hiring nurses. So my mom told me that, hey, you can maybe try this one and submit your resume. So me, okay, it's just like the usual me applying my my resume to the agency. And then when I applied, that was Friday, they talked to me. I had English exam, and then I also took like a little bit background of nursing. So I think I was already a nurse for like 6 years already when I applied to that agency. And then right then and there, that's Friday, they told me that the employer coming here from the US will be there in the agency on Monday. They will be already interviewing nurses on starting Monday. So I was happy and glad, of course, that they came. But also I was really hesitant because I don't have any NCLEX, I don't have any IELTS back then, and I don't really know how to process everything. So good thing, when they interviewed us, they told us that they will sponsor our green cards, our NCLEX and IELTS, as long as we own, as long as we have this at least three years experience, which was for me, I'm already an experienced nurse that time. So luckily, I passed their interview, and then 2016, I took my NCLEX, August, a day before my birthday, I took the NCLEX, and then actually the next day, I don't feel that it's my birthday because, of course, I was really waiting for the results. It's the after 48 hours, which is the time that they release the results. It's only the time I really felt my birthday because I really passed the NCLEX exam.
Wow.
So that was August 2016. And then I processed everything with the help of course, the agency and my employer here in the United States. I processed my green card. And then luckily by 2017 and then 2018 comes a lot of waiting game. It's a tedious process. It's a meticulous process, but it's worth it. So October 2018, my visa, my immigrant visa was already released. So February 2019, I was here. Why wait like months before traveling here in the US? Because I wanted to celebrate Christmas and New Year first during October to December 2018. So 2019, I got here February. And wow. Then because I knew that once you go here, it will really be focusing on work. So I tried to talk to my employer and my agency if I can stay first with my relatives in LA before going here in Houston, because I'm based here in Houston right now. So they allowed me, and of course I was also waiting for my SS card and my green card, so I really cannot work without that. So it's good, it's a good thing and timing that I was able to bond with my relatives in LA. So for 1 month, I traveled a lot. Good thing they planned a lot of things for me. We went to Hollywood. We went to Universal Studios. We went to Disneyland.
You have a good time before starting to work.
Yes,
huh?
Exactly. I was really happy that they allowed me have a vacation first before starting the real battle,
the reality,
the real challenge,
the real challenge of the American life. And then
so before Rianne, let me interrupt, before you get to the real story starting, right? That was the background.
Yes.
lots to think about, lots to unpack. As you said, a very tedious, long process, mm-hmm. very frustrating, but mm-hmm. you got the best birthday gift ever.
Yes.
You always had your focus of going to America and being a nurse and trying out different things. So it seems like it all kind of worked out in the end, right?
Yes, exactly. And I think one good thing also is that I focused only on one goal. I focused on one country only in applying, because I didn't apply in any other countries, because other countries also has their different steps or procedures. Some countries would like to do the IELTS first before the nursing exam, but US, it's different. You have to pass first your NCLEX. So mm-hmm. I focus only for going to the United States, all the process going to the United States. So I think that also really helped me a lot.
Yes.
When
so single focus.
Yes.
Focus. Okay. And I see we have Louise is watching from Riyadh. Hi, Louise. Welcome. Daniel is watching. Brix is watching from Essex, England. Oh. We've got Mel who's watching. Go, Madam Rianne. We've got Alec is saying strength to Bernard.
Oh, thank you. We've got
Mark Vincent who's saying, I'm planning to move to Houston, Texas, end of the year. What is the rate for more than 10 years of experience? So Mark Vincent, Rianne can answer that question at the end when we talk about Texas, because at the end we're going to be doing a whole segment about the different states. Rianne is going to be speaking about Texas, and Bernard has traveled in many places. He's going to be talking about Texas, Nevada, and California. We've got JM who's watching, Eamon who's watching, Gad, Lakis, Ni Rianne. So many people from watching from all over. If you have any specific, Sun is watching from UAE. Jera is watching. You're awesome, Rianne. Anne Race is watching from Rianne. Hi, Anne. Alec is watching from Singapore. Mark is watching from LA, where Rianne was visiting and seeing all the beautiful sights. So many people watching from all over the world. If you have specific questions, please put them into the chat and I'd be happy to ask. And the question about the rate that Mark Vincent asked, we don't worry, Mark, we're going to come back to that. Okay, so let's move on to Bernard. Bernard has a very different story to Rianne, and I think that's the beauty of the Before a Talk Show, is that different people are going through the process in the same but different way. So that's it's true. Still long, it's still tedious, it's still frustrating, it's still the most exciting experience, kind of a roller coaster all at once, but Bernard's story is very different. Bernard, you want to maybe share with us your story and your background and how you came to the U.S.?
Yeah, sure. That's why I'm here, Tanya. Okay. So the main reason is that I'm here to share my stories of our fellow nurses in the Philippines, not only in the Philippines, but across the world. I know your motivation, your pains, and then your struggle to come here. But just hang on there. Okay. So about me is that when I first taking up my college degree is that nursing is not my choice, like none of them, but I want to be a doctor. But because we're not fortunate to go to medical school, so my dad sent me to an accountancy. So my first degree is in accounting, and then I got bored working in an office facing the computer. And then I said, this is going to be my life. I mean, when can I have a car? When can I have a house? When can I be settled at the age of 21 year old? So I talked to my parents and I said, at those time, 2002, 2003, and 2004, there were massive hiring of nurses to the United States. As far as I remember, like almost all schools in Davao, I'm from Davao City, Philippines, are offering nursing programs, because I've heard like nurses going to the States for 6 and 9 months. That's so quick because the priority date was current. So I asked my parents, I said, like, I want to go back to school. I want to go to nursing because I want to go to the United States. Maybe I'm the only one, or maybe I'm so courageous enough to go to this country without any relatives. So that is my basic motivation. As far as I remember, when I got interviewed in my College of Nursing guidance counselor, And when he asked me, what is your 5 years long-term goal at the time you go to nursing in 2004, because it's only 2 years program for you have already a degree. And then I said, my goal is that I finish school in 2 years, and then I'll take NCLEX in 2006 or 2007. I'll finish all the exams, and by the 2009, I'll be in the United States. So all of that words come into just like, I realized that's so powerful. But I didn't know that I would get it in the right time. Okay, so for those people that who took or finished nursing in 2006, I'm one of those pitiful nurses who were victims of what we call the nursing board leakage, that we have to take the local board again. So for a year, we've been having hard time to get employment because we're not accepted in the hospital to get a job because of our license. So what I did is that I finished the exam. I told to myself, I don't have any RN license. So I said, I need to take the NCLEX because my friends and my colleagues, my classmates, they're taking up NCLEX. So 2007, I took up NCLEX in Hong Kong, and then I finished the IELTS, and then we retook the NLE board exam in 2007. So I finished in a year all these exams. And then you feel so confident, you feel so great to yourself that you're an NCLEX passer. But the reality is that there's no job at that time in the Philippines. So I said, okay, I'm trying to look for an employer to hire me in the US. And then no one accepts me because I don't have an experience. So I went to a different hospitals, do trainings. We paid trainings way back in 2007, 2008, and 2009, and 2010, and 2008. So I did all those trainings in the hospital. And then I even went to actually in Middle East, in Bahrain. I went there for a couple of months to work as a nurse also, but I went back home to the Philippines because they have to process the visa. And then 2008, I was doing some, you're doing some research. There's a forum of nurses that time that talk about nursing in the US. And then there was a specific agency that hired nurses for H-1C visa. And then this is a visa that supply nurses for underserved areas in the Philippines, like McAllen, where I started in Texas. I believe there are other also cities before that mm-hmm. offers that kind of visa in Chicago and also in somewhere in the East Coast. So I'm one of those nurses get hired, and then the process was so fast. Like I thought that it's going to be less than a year, but it's just only 4 or 5 months. I was able to get here in the United States in 2009 February. So that was so quick. And then when I got here 2009, I worked with a hospital in McAllen. It was a very good hospital because, you know, the support is there. And then you go through all the trainings. And then in 2011, because the visa is only 3 years and then it is non-renewable. It was so sad because our hospital petitioned us for green card for EB3. And then they said, because we cannot adjust your status, blah, 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 you have to go back to the Philippines and wait there for your EB3 to be current, and then we'll get you back. And then I said, I'm already in the U.S. So I keep applying, you know, I applied to different, I applied for another working visa, H-1B, I got denied. And then I even actually applied to Australia. They offered me a job there. I applied to Canada. So because it's different now, you know, like I cannot go back to the same lifestyle I have here and then going back home to the Philippines. So because I really want to stay, like, you know, like that's the motivation I have. So I even think like getting married for, you know, for green card. And then I said, okay, that's not going to happen. And then luckily there was an agency in Vegas, Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada, that petitioned EB2. So it's a different route because it's an employment-based category number 2. And then the lawyer processed us, and then it was current. And then, you know, they were able to adjust the status, and then we work with them. With that employer. And then I worked in Vegas for 4 years. That's where I got trained in critical care. I've been a dialysis nurse also for a year or two. And then I moved here in San Francisco in 2006 because of family in critical care also. And then I got tired in ICU. I said, oh my God, my back hurting. You know, like I cannot do this job for long. So I said, said to myself, let's try advanced practice. So I went to back to school again, the same time doing a full-time job. So I did clinicals with my advanced degree, working at the same time, paying bills, sending money, you know, to the Philippines to help my family. And I didn't know that I finished. And then in 2018, I become a nurse practitioner. And then I just have my first year in practice in primary care right now. But I'm still working as an RN, as a per diem or a part-time in ICU. So those three places, you know, really molded me as a nurse. I may not be a doctor. That's what I dreamed before. But nurse practitioner is still the practice of medicine. It was tough, you know, it's different. It's a different role as compared to as an RN. But for those nurses, you know, if you have questions about pursuing your advanced degrees, I mean, you can ask throw questions. That's okay.
Wow, what an incredible story, Bernard. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
How interesting that you and Rianne have the same story, but a different story. You know, you both had the struggle of coming to US, as I said, but you know, the zigzag of your story is really both heartbreaking and inspiring, really, because you know, kudos to you for your courage and your motivation to keep pushing forward when you hit so many obstacles. And just one thing to mention to anybody who's watching, wondering about the H1C or EB2 visas or H1 visas. So I just want to clarify that for anyone, because I know people think, oh my goodness, I never knew about H1C. Is that a way I can come to America like Bernard? So just to clarify that is a visa that we used to use, or that used to be used years ago. You know, I remember I had a hospital that we used to supply nurses to on the H1C visa, but that visa, I think there were only like 14 hospitals in the whole of America.
Right.
It was a non-immigrant visa, and you can no longer use that visa. So I just want to clarify that. Also, in terms of the H1, for those of you who watch the lawyers panel, you know, most nurses do not come through on an H1 visa because you know, there are a number of reasons, and you can watch our YouTube panel to find out those reasons. I'm not going to go into that right now. It's really EB3, employment-based green card, which is the visa that most nurses will come through on.
We'll be back with the conversation in just a second. There's a wonderful opportunity for you. Kinetics USA is currently recruiting registered nurses from all over the world to work in healthcare facilities here in the USA. If you are interested, please apply at kineticsusa.com/application. That's kineticsusa.com/application. On with the show.
So Rianne and Bernard, you've given us the background. Take us to the first day when you let your plane landed in America and you stepped onto U.S. soil.
Okay.
What was that like? For those people who are still outside the U.S., let them live vicariously through you.
Sure.
Experience that moment through you. Rianne, what was that like for you?
Of course, when I landed, I cannot believe that I'm already in America. I feel so overwhelmed and very excited. And of course, questioning what's going to happen next, you know, but excited, more on the excitement part. And then typical Filipino family, of course, when I arrived at Tom Bradley International Airport in LA, my family had a banner. Welcome to the USA. So I really saw them and then, oh my gosh. And then I became excited too. And then I'm so blessed because they were there to really act as my tour guide, they really helped me in adjusting. We went to a lot of places. They showed me this is the convention center, this is the Staples Center, everything. They guided me all the way. So I'm really happy, and it was fun. It was really exciting to be here in America. So that's the most memorable also experience for me.
Yeah.
And of course, I got to took a lot of selfies.
Of course. What about you, Bernard? What was your first moments in America like, your first few days?
Oh, yeah. So I'm so very happy and so very excited because our connecting flight, as far as I remember, we got here in February 17, 2009. And then the plane landed in Houston, Texas. That's our point of entry, 5 p.m. But we go through to the immigration. That's the most scariest part of my life. You know, here we go again. So we're a batch of nurses. I think we're 16 H1C nurses. And then we line up. We're the three of men of nurses of us from the Philippines, holding our passport and then with the visa stamp. And when we give to the immigration officer, and then, you know, the immigration officer didn't know what is H1C visa.
Okay.
I said, he's not familiar. He said, yeah. Wait, what is this visa? Oh my God. All of us are looking. The three of us are looking. It's like, wait.
And you're
I was like, what is this? Yeah, it's going to be an airport to airport thing. Can we go back to the Philippines? I said, and then he called his supervisor. Imagine he called his supervisor, immigration officer, and he said, oh, hey, what is this visa, H1C? I've never heard this one. And then it was a good thing the supervisor is so familiar with the visa. He said, oh, you know, those are visas for in McAllen, in Laredo. These are the hospitals that gives those visa. It's like, okay. So he gave us a tap and he said, welcome to the United States. Oh my God, what a relief, you know, like getting in, you know, like, and then the moment you see the airport is so huge, and then it was winter, it was cold. And then I was looking for a telephone booth, and then I called my father. And then immediately I called him and then I said, Dad, I'm here in America. Oh. And he was so happy. He was laughing. And he said, how is it there? I said, it's cold. Like the jacket that I brought is just only the jacket that we thought that will fit in the winter in the Philippines. I said, like, oh my God, this is very cold. It was so happy. And then we boarded to another flight 4 hours after, because there's a flight, a one-hour flight from Houston to McAllen. That's a border of Mexico and the U.S. So we got there at 9 p.m. And then when I look at the, you know, like, you're so excited to the place, you know, like when you look at it, and it gets so dark. Where am I? I don't see buildings because it's just a small city. Like, I don't see buildings. But, you know, you got there and then they let you in, and then, oh, this is America. People are speaking in English, you know, so I have to talk in English now. And then our agency, who happened to be a Filipino also, is the owner, is very accommodating. And then she helped us, you know, settle down. They got us a house, and then they even give us a pangkabuhayan showcase. There's a rice, there is a sardines, there is noodles in there, just to survive for a week. And then the following day, and then they said, this is your room, and then tomorrow we will start. Like, what? Yes, we'll start getting the application for the bank, application for Social Security, and all this stuff follows, and then we'll go to the hospital. So yeah, it was happy and exciting.
Yeah, you make me cry when you speak about your calling your dad. You know, it's that moment that sometimes life is made up of moments, like special moments. And
that's true.
Yeah, then we have to celebrate those special moments. Yeah. So coming to America, as we know, can be, I mean, I came here 20 years ago myself as an immigrant. So I'm just remembering my arrival here, so similar to both of yours. But culture shock is a very real, well-documented experience. And it's very common in the beginning that you have like the honeymoon. And then you can go into what's called the dip. Right. It's very common. People go into the dip, some people more than others, depending on the circumstances, depending on the personality. It's very common for a few months to go into a dip. Did that happen to either of you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Rianne, did that happen to you?
I'm blessed that I have family, and I spent my first month here in America with family. So culture shock was really a smooth transition. There's a smooth transition from coming to the Philippines, going here. But of course, I experienced some homesickness sometimes. But good thing we already have this technology, the Facebook. We already have this WhatsApp, Viber. So every time I miss home, I just try to call them. And then, of course, I always video call even my dogs. once you're also in the workplace, that's the time that you will also feel or experience some culture shock. But of course, what can I advise is that just be open, be open-minded, and try to really, before coming to the state that you're going to, because I am here assigned in Houston, Texas. So it's actually a city. So it's different. So you will get to meet a lot of different nationalities, different culture. So you just have to be open. You just have to stay positive and try to learn or research for the state or city that you will go into. So at least you'll have an idea what will you be facing. So I think that will be a good advice. So at least culture shock will not be really shocking to you.
Okay, good. That's very good advice, because I think that, you know, many nurses don't realize how big America is.
Yes.
And how different it is in different parts.
Different state and different city. It's very different. So,
yeah, a lot of differences. Bernard, did you experience culture shock?
Well, where I started in McAllen, the majority of the people speak Spanish. That's the biggest challenge I had for the culture. I think because it's a border of Mexico and the U.S., and I think Mexicans are the same culture we have, because in the Philippines, we're colonized by the Spaniards from Spain. So, you know, we're type of persons is very religious. We believe in God. So the food's almost the same. So not that into that sense, but the biggest challenge I had is the language, because I really thought that all people in America speaks English. So, and then 70 to 80% of the population in that small city, and most of our patients in the hospital are Spanish speaking. And then 50% of them doesn't know how to speak English. So again, as what Rianne said, do some research. Yes, because I didn't do that. I did, but I underestimated it. But it's a reality thing. You need to do your assignment and research to the place where you're going. So if you know, like, time will come back, if I need to go back to that time before coming to the United States, I should learn how to speak, you know, basic language on Spanish, because it's really hard. Because there's one specific example I have when I have a patient taking care of that Spanish speaking patient. And then I did the wrong thing, you know, it's a lesson learned. And then she doesn't understand English at all. And then I want her to sign the consent for a surgical procedure. And then the husband said, you're here in America. Most people speak Spanish here in Texas. Like, you should know how to speak Spanish. And I said, okay. You know what, sir? You see that flag out there? That's United States of America. And I came here. I learned English. My English is my second language. So, as far as I know, I should, you know, everybody should speak English. But the reality is that I'm wrong. You know, like in America, you know, people come here with, you know, it's very diverse. We come here because we can practice our religion, our language, whatever you want to do, as long as you cannot hurt somebody. Okay, so, but it should be in a good way. The right way to do is to, you know, like, I get an interpreter from the hospital, you know, to help this patient understand what is the procedure all about, and then why is she signing the consent. So yeah, language is a very big thing here in America. It's not only about English. Spanish is like 50% and then American or English language.
Yeah. And again, it depends where you go to, because there's some parts of America where maybe that doesn't come up as an issue at all. Rianne, have you experienced that as a challenge? Language?
Luckily, because I just arrived here in the U.S. 2019, there's a lot of technology, as I said. So when I encounter a lot of Spanish-speaking people or even Armenian or even other language, there's already the Stratos. The Stratos, the interpreter, so you just have to call through your Vocera. Mm-hmm. That's a small, like, it's already a voice activated. It's not a cell phone, but it acts like a cell phone. It can call. So that's one of the new technologies here in America that I don't think Philippines has yet, but hopefully they will have it soon too. So that's what we call Vocera, and then you just have to press Vocera and then call Stratos. Stratos is the one who will, it's like a center that there's a different interpreter. You just have to say what kind of language that you need, and then there's already an available interpreter that will talk to you. And they are also accredited by the hospital, because that Vocera and in their part it's recorded, and they know about that the person calling is medical professional and you're talking to a patient. So that is a really big help for me coming here 2019. So
Yeah, that is definitely a huge, huge help, because it's hard enough to be speaking now in a second language, you know, English, and then to have a third language on top of that. But again, I think it goes back to the point that both of you made, is to research that before. Mm-hmm. Because then
another language will really be helpful. Because of course, calling through the Vocera or the Stratos will take time. But if you already know how to speak, then it's really easier. So.
Yeah, and it's not only that. I think this is one of the laws and policies of the hospitals. If the hospital cannot provide a language interpreter services to the patient, what language they want to speak, it's a big no-no for the hospital. They'll get sued for that. Especially in America, there's a lot of legalities. And, you know, so you have to provide what they can understand. So that's a tip to the nurses coming to the United States. So don't argue with your patients, okay? That's what I did before. It's a mistake. I don't want my nurses, you know, coming to the US. Same way what I did, but it's a lesson learned.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Nursing in America. Part 2 will be available next week, so make sure you hit the follow button and come back to join us then. If you enjoyed the episode, please help us and leave a review. Kinetics USA is currently recruiting registered nurses internationally. We offer direct hire, which means healthcare facilities will directly sponsor and hire you to work here in the USA. If you're interested, please apply at kineticsusa.com/application. That's kineticsusa.com/application. You can find the link in the show notes.